You know, there used to be a very specific ritual to finding a place to eat.
Totally.
Like you're in a new town or maybe just a neighborhood you don't frequent and you, I don't know, ask the hotel concierge. Or you just drive around looking for the place with the most cars in the parking lot.
The classic vibe check.
Right. Or, I mean, even if we just go back a few years, you'd sit down, search Italian food on your laptop, click on some beautifully designed website, and maybe struggle to zoom in on a PDF menu on your phone before making a choice.
Yeah, and it was a very human, very visual process. You browsed, you evaluated the aesthetics of their website, and you basically made a decision based on, well, presentation.
Exactly. But if you look at how we behave right now today, it is completely unrecognizable from that.
Completely.
Today, we are diving into a 2026 white paper by the strategic marketing firm Ignite XDS. It's titled The Invisible Table Mobile and AI Restaurant Search. And the core thesis they present is, honestly, it's incredibly jarring.
It really is.
They argue that a restaurant today is no longer competing with the place across the street. It is literally competing with whatever the algorithm can read.
Which, if you think about it, completely redefines what it means to operate a local business. I mean, the primary battleground is no longer physical visibility, it is digital infrastructure.
Okay, let's unpack this because while we are talking about the restaurant industry today, this custom deep dive is really a lens into how all humans interact with technology right now.
Yeah, it's a complete rewiring of consumer behavior.
Right. So to understand how we find places to eat today, we really need to look at the death of the brochure website.
Yeah, and the contrast between the 2015 playbook and the 2026 reality is just stark. I mean, in 2015, a restaurant's primary digital asset was that pretty website you
The
mentioned.
one with the PDF menu.
Exactly. You hired a designer, you put up atmospheric photos, uploaded that clunky PDF, and then you just hoped Google's keyword algorithms would, put you on the first page of those blue links.
And the user would click the link, land on your beautiful front page, and just browse.
Right. But this paper makes it very clear that this version of the web is gone. In 2026, the primary digital asset isn't your website at all, it's the Google Business Profile.
Wow.
And to put scale to that shift, the paper notes that 79% of restaurant searches are now non-branded discovery queries.
Wait, meaning they aren't searching for the actual name of the place?
Exactly. The consumer isn't typing, Luigi's Italian on Main Street. They are completely brand agnostic. They are just typing pizza or Italian.
Just whatever they're craving.
Right. They are searching to satisfy a craving, not to locate a specific establishment. And the consequence of that craving-based search is what the industry calls the zero-click
Right,
phenomenon.
the zero click thing.
Yeah, over 60% of these searches end without the user ever clicking through to a restaurant's actual website.
Let's pause on that because zero click sounds like a failure metric, right? And like you did something wrong. But it's actually the new normal. So if I'm one of those 60%, what am I actually doing instead of going to the website?
Well, Google's interface basically absorbs your entire interaction. When you search pizza, Google presents the local pack, that map with the three options or a knowledge panel on the side of your screen.
Oh, right, where it just shows everything right there.
Exactly. The search engine pulls the hours, the photos, the reviews, and the live menu data directly onto its own results page. You get the directions and you decide, all without ever leaving Google.
You know, the way I was thinking about this while I was reading the source material is that the restaurant website used to be the welcoming front door.
Yes.
Like it had the nice awning, the warm lighting, it was where you greeted the guest. Now it's just the basement filing cabinet where AI machines go to check your facts.
That is the perfect visualization of the mechanism at play. I mean, we have transitioned from human-readable brochures to machine-readable infrastructure. It's kind of sad, honestly.
It is a bit. The desktop website still exists, sure, but its primary audience is no longer the human diner. Its primary audience is the crawling algorithm.
Which means if people aren't sitting at home on their desktops looking at these beautiful websites, we have to ask, where is the actual decision happening? Like, where is the physical environment for this?
The moving vehicle. The behavioral data points directly to the car as the new lobby.
The lobby, wow.
Yeah, 51% of smartphone restaurant searches now happen in car.
Over half, like just actively driving and searching.
And the hardware numbers explain exactly why. By 2026, 98% of new US cars feature Apple CarPlay. And Android Auto is in over 250 million cars worldwide.
That's massive.
It is. The dashboard itself has become the primary screen for discovery because, well, drivers' hands are busy, So 62% are using voice commands to find nearby businesses.
Just talking to their steering wheel.
Right. And a staggering 94% of drivers who use those voice assistants place food orders on the go. Okay, I want to talk about the timeline of this, because the part that literally made my jaw drop is what the paper calls the one-hour window.
Oh, yeah. This is huge.
It says 64% of mobile restaurant searchers convert within 1 hour, and 30% convert immediately at the moment of search. Wait, are people really deciding that fast? Like, they just speak to their dashboard and route to a restaurant seconds later.
They absolutely are. It is the highest within-hour conversion rate of any vertical ever measured.
That is insane.
It's incredible. Yeah. When we look at the psychology of the user in that specific moment, the driver's default verb is navigate, not browse.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they are moving at 60 miles an hour down a highway.
Right. They can't browse.
No, they don't want to read an About Us page detailing a chef's culinary journey in Tuscany. They want to know what is open right this second, how far away it is, and how to route there instantly.
It's literally like speed dating for dinner.
Exactly.
You have literal seconds to make an impression, but it's not a visual impression anymore. It's a data impression.
Yeah.
Like, does the map pin work?
Yeah.
Are the hours accurate? Can I call you from my steering wheel?
And if your digital presence isn't explicitly formatted for a car screen and a voice command, you simply don't exist in that context. You are invisible to the driver.
Okay, but that physical reality,
yeah,
you know, moving at high speed, needing an instant answer that completely breaks traditional search.
It shatters it.
Because people are in the car making these split-second decisions. The very words they use to search have mutated.
Yes. We are seeing a mutation driven entirely by urgency. A few years ago, the dominant search behavior was appending near me to everything, you know, restaurants near me.
Right. Everyone did that.
But the data now shows that aggregate near me volume is actually down 19% from its peak.
But urgency variants, like searching food near me open now, have exploded by 875% year over year.
It's a massive spike.
Why did that specific shift happen? Like, why the sudden need for open now?
Well, users learned that the technology evolved. Your phone and your car already know your exact GPS coordinate.
Oh, right.
Google resolves location implicitly, so the user doesn't need to type near me anymore. The machine just assumes proximity. But what the machine has historically struggled with, and frankly, what consumers have been burned by, is whether a place is actually open right this second.
Oh, I've been there.
Right. People got tired of driving to a restaurant only to find the kitchen closed 15 minutes ago. Hence, the 875% spike in adding open now.
And as the search terms mutate, the tools we use are completely transforming too. This is where the AI shift happens.
Yeah, the big pivot.
Consumer use of AI for local discovery jumped from 6% to 45% in just a single year.
Mm-hmm.
We are talking about people literally asking ChatGPT, Gemini, Perplexity, or Meta AI where they should eat.
A 7.5 times acceleration in 12 months is a staggering rate of adoption.
It really is.
And it introduces a massive problem for the industry, because despite 45% of consumers using AI to find places, 83% of restaurants are completely invisible in AI-generated recommendations.
Like, stop right there. 83% are invisible.
Visible.
The paper brings up this profound contradiction, and I love this part. It asks, if AI doesn't reward the best restaurant, but rather the clearest digital signal, does that mean a mediocre restaurant with perfectly structured metadata will beat a Michelin star spot with a bad Google profile?
The answer is yes.
Wow.
AI functions entirely as a pre-Google filter now. When you ask an LLM, you know, a large language model like ChatGPT for recommendation, it doesn't have taste buds.
Right.
It cannot evaluate culinary merit or ambiance. It can only evaluate machine understandable identity.
Okay, so if I'm listening to this and I'm not a web developer, what does that actually mean? If it can't taste the food, what is the taste of a digital signal?
It really comes down to two major factors, schema markup and review velocity.
Okay.
Schema markup is basically invisible code on a website.
Oh.
Instead of just typing, we are open at 9 a.m. in a regular paragraph on your site, schema markup is a specific tag that explicitly tells the AI these are the operating hours.
Ah, I see.
It puts machine-readable labels on your menu items, your prices, and your allergen information.
So it spoon-feeds the exact data points the AI is looking for, just removing any guesswork completely.
Precisely. The AI wants absolute certainty. And the second factor, review velocity, isn't just about having a 5-star average. It's about how recently and frequently you are getting reviewed.
Oh, so old reviews don't matter as much.
Right. An AI model looks at a restaurant with 500 reviews from 5 years ago and considers it stale data.
Stale data. Wow.
It prefers a restaurant getting 5 new reviews this week because that proves the business is currently active and relevant.
So if a mediocre diner has excellent schema markup and consistent new reviews, the AI feels confident recommending it. But if the Michelin star restaurant has its menu trapped in an unreadable image file and hasn't updated its Google hours since 2022, the AI ignores it because the data is just too risky to recommend.
Exactly. It rewards signal clarity over brand history every time. It really is an invisible table. If you don't have the right digital code, you aren't even an option to the consumer.
But wait, all of this perfectly labeled schema and AI optimization assumes the consumer is actually asking ChatGPT or Google in the first place.
True.
What if your customers are 22 years old? Because the paper dives into how demographics completely shatter this single marketing playbook.
Yeah, Gen Z has essentially abandoned Google for discovery.
Abandoned it.
Basically, yeah.
Wow.
The numbers show 67% prefer Instagram and 62% prefer TikTok for finding restaurants, compared to just 61% who still use Google.
That's a huge shift.
It is. Meanwhile, millennial parents are still dominating those near me searches on Google and YouTube.
So it's not just a different platform, it's a completely different evaluation mechanism. Like
Right.
Google is a data check. You want to know the hours and the address. But TikTok is a visual vibe check.
I vibe check, exactly.
A Gen Z diner isn't looking for a list of blue links. They're looking for a 10-second video showing the lighting, the plating, and just the aesthetic of the dining room.
Which means a restaurant has to maintain a presence on TikTok with location-tagged short-form video as a completely parallel search surface. It cannot just be an afterthought or a place to cross-post text updates.
The paper actually uses a specific real-world test tube to show how all these pressures, the in-car search, the AI filters, the generational divides, how they collide in real time.
Yes, the Florida Gulf Coast.
Places like Naples, Fort Myers, Bonita Springs. Why is the Gulf Coast the ultimate high-stakes market for this?
Well, Ignite XDS chose this region because it operates under three structural realities that make it a crystal ball for the future of discovery. First, it is heavily drive first.
Okay.
Dining traffic is dominated by major highway corridors like US 41 and I-75. So that 51% in-car search statistic we talked about earlier, in a place like Estero, that's likely the floor, not the ceiling.
Meaning the decision is almost always happening in a vehicle.
Almost always. Second, the region relies heavily on a seasonal visitor economy, snowbirds and vacationers.
Ah, which means they don't know the local mom-and-pop brands.
Exactly. They are structurally non-branded searchers. A local might search for Bob's Diner, but a tourist from Ohio is just typing seafood open now because they have no local brand loyalty.
Right, and they don't know who Bob is.
No idea. They rely entirely on the algorithm to tell them what exists.
And the third reality.
Because the market is so transient, it is hyper-reliant on review velocity. Gulf Coast diners over-index on checking Google and Yelp before trying a new place, simply to mitigate the risk of a bad vacation meal.
That makes sense.
If a restaurant in this region misses on mobile and AI optimization, they simply don't survive.
You know, if you're listening to this and thinking, well, I just Google things normally, you have to realize that you are rapidly becoming the minority.
Very rapidly.
And if I'm a restaurant owner, I'm sweating right now. The brochure website is dead. Decisions are made at 60 miles an hour via Siri. AI filters are hiding 83% of businesses. And Gen Z wants a TikTok vibe check. I mean, how does a restaurant actually survive this?
Well, the paper pivots from the problem to a very actionable solution, which they call the AI UX framework.
AI UX, okay.
Yes. Ignite XDS designed it around four pillars because a busy restaurant operator can't execute 20 different marketing strategies. They need one cohesive operating system.
Let's walk through those four pillars because the mechanics here are fascinating. The first is structured identity. This goes back to what we were just talking about with schema markup, right?
Yes. Every fact about the restaurant allergens, price bands, parking availability, patio seating must be expressed as code the machine can parse instantly.
Right. No more hiding it in paragraphs. The second pillar is local gravity.
This focuses on ranking for those highly intentional localized queries, capturing the open now and tonight modifiers by ensuring your Google business profile is constantly updated and, generating fresh reviews.
Okay, and the third pillar is voice and in-car readiness. And there is a tactical play in here that I think is the ultimate aha moment of the entire paper.
Oh, the phonetic spelling.
Yes, The strategy states that you must explicitly spell your brand name phonetically in your Google Business Profile description. Why? So Siri, Alexa, and Google Assistant actually pronounce it correctly when they read it out loud to a driver.
It is a granular detail, but with massive implications. Imagine a restaurant named Chez Louis.
Right, French.
Yeah. If the owner doesn't put the phonetic spelling Chez Louis in the back-end data, Siri might literally pronounce it Chez Louis.
And if a driver hears Chez Louis read out loud by their dashboard, what happens?
The driver instantly loses trust. They assume the AI has found the wrong place, or it's a fake listing, and they just say, Siri, skip, give me the next option.
Wow.
Voice search shifts discovery from a page of visual options to a single spoken answer. If the machine fumbles your name, you lose the customer immediately.
That is incredible. A lost sale just because the AI couldn't pronounce the French word?
Yep.
Okay, the fourth pillar is AI surface presence. This means optimizing explicitly for ChatGPT, Perplexity, and others by feeding them first-party content. And there's another amazing mechanism explained here regarding connected TV or CTV, like ads on Hulu or Roku.
Yeah.
What does connected TV have to do with someone finding a restaurant on their phone?
It comes down to separating the craving from the conversion. The attribution data from Ground Truth shows that pairing mobile targeting with connected TV makes diners 2.5 times more likely to visit compared to just mobile alone.
But how does that actually work in practice?
So the screen that sets the craving is rarely the screen that captures the click.
Okay.
You might see a beautiful high-definition ad for a local steakhouse on your Roku while watching a movie on Tuesday night. You don't click anything on your TV, obviously.
Right.
But the craving is planted. Then on Friday night, when you are in your car, you pull out your iPhone and search steak near me. Because that brand awareness was established on the TV, you are significantly more likely to choose that specific steakhouse when it pops up in your mobile search results.
It really emphasizes that running a restaurant today means treating marketing not as a siloed side project, but as an interconnected operating system.
Exactly.
But there's a ticking clock here, right?
Yeah.
We need to talk about the cost of waiting.
This is perhaps the most critical takeaway for any business owner. The transition we are seeing right now from traditional mobile search to AI and voice is an inflection point. Legacy wins the past, but infrastructure wins the future.
And the paper warns that every single quarter a restaurant waits to adapt, the penalty gets steeper.
Much steeper. If you wait, three compounding things happen. First, AI interfaces like ChatGPT only give 2 to 5 slots per query.
Right. They do not give you a page of 10 blue links.
No. If a competitor claims that AI slot today, their schema and their reviews begin to train that model over time, the algorithm learns to trust them.
Oh, wow.
Displacing that competitor a year from now will cost you 3 to 5 times more than it would have cost to simply establish your presence first.
3 to 5 times more expensive just because you let someone else train the AI first?
Yeah.
That's brutal.
Second, demand leaks. We know 64% of searchers convert within an hour. A missed one-hour window doesn't come back tomorrow. That customer just goes to the restaurant 2 miles down the road.
They're gone.
And third, review velocity compounds for someone else on autopilot. Every month you delay asking for reviews, your competitor's review moat gets deeper, making them mathematically more attractive to the AI filters.
So to synthesize this dizzying journey we've been on today for you, the listener, we have moved from an era where a pretty brochure website was enough to a world where split-second decisions are made in moving cars based on voice commands.
A completely different world.
We've explored how traditional search terms mutated into demands for real-time certainty, giving rise to AI filters that reward perfectly structured code over actual culinary quality. And we've seen how in high-stakes, transient markets, if you aren't optimizing for voice assistants, in-car dashboards, and multiple social platforms simultaneously, well, you simply cease to exist in the eyes of the modern consumer.
It is a harsh reality for legacy operators, I mean, but an incredibly clear roadmap if you understand the data.
It leaves me with a lingering philosophical question inspired by all these mechanisms we've discussed today. If algorithms now dictate our physical dining choices based almost entirely on the structure of a restaurant's digital metadata rather than the actual quality of the food, are we standardizing our physical world just to appease machines?
That's a great point.
Think about that magical hidden gem hole-in-the-wall spot in your neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
You know the one they serve the absolute best food in town? The line is out the door, but the owner has no idea what schema markup is or how to spell their name phonetically so a robot can read it.
Right.
What happens to them as Gen Z and AI take over? Will they just fade entirely into the invisible table?
It really raises a profound question about what we actually value, you know, and how we protect the character and merit of our local communities in an age of strict algorithmic curation.
It really does. We want to warmly thank you for joining us on this custom deep dive today. Keep questioning the systems around you, keep exploring, and we'll see you next time.